One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
We start today's episode with a message from a deranged fan.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's jumping right in there. You haven't even announced who you are, Ryan.
Well,
I feel like we should start with...
This person knows.
I feel like we start with the host being an hour late.
That is true, Ryan.
Do we have to mention that? They don't know. It's like this is live.
You can't tell from the metadata of the file.
Yeah, I woke up. I threw a party at my house last night. Dave,
great
where
party.
The fuck were you?
So we're going to double yesterday. I was fucking exhausted.
Oh, excuse me, mister. I make money and have responsibilities.
It was like a post-Thanksgiving party.
Yeah. About two-thirds of the people that RSVP'd did not show up.
Yeah. I did not RSVP. My plans fell out at the last minute. I was like, oh, I'll show up.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
It was a backup plan for you.
Yeah, yeah. But I'll tell you, it was a good time. Ryan, very funny side note. I was having a conversation with one of your wrestling buddies, and we were talking past each other a little bit. Very nice gentleman. I think there was a cultural difference because his parents were from Nigeria.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. And so we were speaking, and we were talking about the justice system, and I was talking about, hey, if we had perfect lie detectors, should we change the way the justice system is worked so that instead of, you know, these defense attorneys doing whatever they can to get loopholes to get people off, we just ask them if they're guilty, and if they're guilty, then we try them and blah, 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 instead of the current system. And he was trying to express how unfair the justice system was. And I thought he was going to say, like, well, you should see the discrepancies in people going to jail in terms of race or something like that. And I would totally agree with all of that. But instead, his argument was, he's like, no, man, because let me tell you, they'll charge you with first-degree murder if it's premeditated. So, like, it doesn't matter if you have, like, a nice girlfriend and then you premeditate her death and kill her, or if you find out she's been sleeping with a bunch of your friends and you premeditate her death and you kill her, it's the same punishment. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
You premeditated somebody's death. And he's like, yeah, isn't that unfair? And I was like, no, you're not getting me. No, like, that's what we want. He's like, no, we don't want that. It's not the same thing. They're completely different crimes. It should be different punishment. And I was like, no, I mean, you could argue they're different crimes, I guess, but we've decided that premeditated murder is a bad enough crime that you need to get the maximum punishment when you do it. And he's like, Yeah, so we're in agreement, right, that they shouldn't be punished the same? It was a lot of back and forth where I was finally like, listen, please don't kill your girlfriend if you're cheating on you with somebody.
So anyways, I meant what I said. I wanted to read this email I got from someone who I guess used to be a fan, no longer a fan.
What? We had fans?
Yeah.
Wait, a fan of you or of the podcast?
I assume both. I like to attach myself to this right, whenever I can. Okay, this comes to from Barbara. I've never spoken with this person before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who she is. Hi, Ryan. I really don't want to be friends with someone who doesn't want to interact at all with me. I think you are cool and a funny guy with a beautiful wife whom I love and respect.
Does she know Aaron?
No.
Just
what?
Social media.
Okay. No, okay. No.
And then in parentheses, kind of cute. I don't know. I guess my wife's kind of cute to her.
All right.
Oh, sorry, she didn't stack up. I wish you the best. If you can't wish me a happy birthday once a year, I don't see why I should interact with you.
Is this real? Is this real? Are you fooling a bit?
Here it is. You can read it. Perhaps I'm too old school. I know my value.
What?
Was that in caps?
Yeah.
What?
Okay. I still like you.
What time was this set? Is this a drunk message?
I will pay to see you perform, but I don't think that we should be friends, and I really don't think any of us get out of this thing alive. And
I'm curious what she means by pay to see you perform. I don't think she's talking about comedy.
What?
Okay. I think she's going to be reading a copy of Catcher in the Rye outside my fucking house.
I have so many fucking questions about that. All right.
I have questions.
All right. First off, are you Facebook friends with this person?
Not anymore.
But you were Facebook
Bobby,
friends.
Bobby, I'm going to tell you,
so.
I know where this came from. Ryan's made a couple posts recently
about
Facebook birthdays.
Okay.
And I think she's seen those posts, and she's taken it personally.
And she thinks that he needs to say happy birthday to her directly on Facebook. That's interesting, because I got to tell you, I don't do the birthday thing on Facebook. Like, yeah. I just ignore it. For almost everybody, every once in a while, I'll, like, chime in or something. But for the most part, I'm like, if I see you, I'll say happy birthday. But this is kind of fake and contrived and manufactured at this point.
So right. You know, I text happy birthday or right. I call, but the Facebook happy birthday, there's no value.
Yeah,
there's no nutritional value there.
Yeah, if there is beer or cake around and we're in the same room, I'll say happy birthday. But,
sure.
Yeah, but if this is...
If only you had a slice of that cake.
Right, but if this is something that's far off. But also, imagine taking offense... to just somebody not... Does that mean that she looks through her entire friends list and counts every person who said happy birthday and then goes off on a tangent to everyone who didn't? How does that work? The amount of effort that would take is crazy.
Also, I got like 5,000 friends on Facebook. Like, so that breaks down to, do I have to do this 13 times a day?
Right.
Do I have to say happy birthday to 13 people every single day of my life from now on?
That's a bizarre expectation. Okay.
But I've never spoken to her, too. It'd be one thing if Dave's like, dude, you didn't wish me happy birthday. He would never say that.
Right.
But it'd be one thing.
Well, maybe now I will. I'm going to send you a message.
If any one of my real life friends, or even like, there's some people on Facebook that I consider friends that I've never met in person before. And I could even see it coming from them. But I don't recognize this name.
That is so weird.
And none of her Facebook profile pictures are her. It's like a cat, a picture of a pumpkin.
I think you're getting trolled. I don't think this is a real person.
Maybe the cat sent the message. No, I definitely do the Facebook birthday thing.
I'm afraid of getting shot in the head. Sorry. Yeah.
I do the Facebook birthday thing as often as I can because a lot of my friends, I don't see them on a regular basis.
Right.
Like a lot of friends in Michigan, a lot of friends in LA, whatever. And besides, it takes me fucking 5 seconds and maybe someone is like, oh, cool, I got a birthday wish, awesome, whatever. But
sure.
I'm not going to be mad if someone doesn't.
Well, I know my value. I still like you.
Here, Dave just brought up a really good point, Ryan. I don't know if you realized it, but it was subtle, but it was good. So he said it might make somebody's day. Like, right, it might be like, hey, somebody saw it and said happy birthday and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So Dave is doing it on the off chance that his friends are such losers that happy birthday online from Dave Callens would make...
This is how Bobby's brain works. I didn't say on the off chance I might make someone's day. I said someone might see me like, oh, cool, happy birthday.
They are hovering
Bobby
with a razor
that.
Blade over their wrists and
I
they
feel like
catch
Bobby
this
and I are
Callens.
Like in a courtroom drama right now. Like, Bobby, no. Objection.
All Dave's
You can't handle Dave's birthday message.
Are sitting on a toilet with a shotgun barrel in their mouth, and the only thing that keeps them from pulling the trigger is happy birthday.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. The hyperbole begins.
That's such a weird instinct because, again, do you think she sent that message to literally everybody who didn't send her a birthday message?
Well, this was,
she thinks all their wives are cute?
And that they all accept money to perform? And
yeah.
No, not the exact same message. Do you think she literally went down her list?
She drafted like 300 individual messages?
Because there has to. You can't be the only person in this person's life who has not said happy birthday on her birthday.
No, absolutely not.
If you can get access to her account, I don't know if you can, if it's closed now that you're no longer friends, but like, I got to see their daily drama. That's the person who the mailman comes and they didn't quite close the front gate all the way as they were leaving and they've taken it as a hate crime. They're now protesting.
See, I feel like it's not going to be as much fun drama like your thing. I feel like it's more passive aggressive. Like they're not going to...
Keep in mind, this person's big criticism, besides that I didn't say happy birthday once a year, is that I don't interact with them. So I went to their page. Am I missing some big posts about some big life goals that I'm not interacting with? Maybe this is someone, I can't keep track of who likes my fucking jokes online. So maybe this person likes all my jokes and I never once said anything to them. That's valid. So I went through their page here. Here's their, yesterday, she changed her profile picture to a cat. On November 1st, she changed her profile picture to another cat. On October 6th, she changed her profile picture to a cat sitting in front of a pumpkin. Are you seeing a pattern here? Because look out, on May 3rd, picture of a cat. She doesn't make posts.
That's not just a cat. That's a cat astronaut.
Yeah.
Is this a fake profile? I feel like this might be a fake profile by somebody who's trying to troll you just to get on the Degenerate podcast.
No, here's the thing. Well, mission accomplished.
Yeah.
but once someone unfriends you, you might not see all their posts.
Oh, you're right.
So there could be a lot of other shit in there.
There's like a few dog ones.
Hey. All right, Dave, go ahead and friend her.
I'm going to friend her, and I'm going to wish her happy Arbor Day. Whatever that is, I'll have to look it up. Just some minimal holiday. I wish her happy Flag Day.
Even better, Ryan, you should friend any family or close friend she has and make sure to always address their birthdays from now on. To like
I'll make
every time she
posts. Yeah.
I am definitely not friending her, by the way, because if she follows you that closely, she definitely knows who I am being on the podcast, and I don't want to get dragged into this web of fucking whatever.
You don't want to catch the extra Sirhan Bobby Kennedy shot?
Anyway, what else is going on? I got cut out of a TV commercial I filmed.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You get paid the same regardless, right?
Yeah, I do. I do.
That's kind of nice.
Little embarrassing thing that happened. I did not know I was cut out of the commercial until it aired. And here's how I found out. About once a week, I go eat at BJ's Brewery near my house.
Okay.
The staff knows me there because I come in so frequently, order the same thing. But I don't tell them about what I do. For reasons that I've mentioned many times before on this show, I don't tell, hey, I'm a comedian. Like, they don't know what I do. They just know me as Ryan, the guy that orders fried chicken.
And never wishes happy birthday.
You are not welcome at this establishment ever again.
And
staff have complained.
He also asked if he get a microphone in 5 minutes in the main seating area.
So they just know me as Ryan, and I'm sitting there at the bar where I usually sit. And I like I said, I know the staff, like the bartender, the waitress, the busboy. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there eating my lunch, and the commercial that I filmed a few weeks ago starts airing. I'm like, oh, and I got kind of excited because I didn't know it was going to be out that soon. I'm like, guys, look. And I'm pointing at the screen. They're like, what, the commercial? I'm like, yeah, watch. And I know I'm at the end of it. You know, I think I'm like the last line of the commercial. I'm like, watch. They're like, I got to bust it. Wait. And then the fucking commercial ends and I'm not in it. I'm like, so now I'm staring
now
at the screen.
Now he's the crazy guy.
He's totally a schizophrenic.
Because they don't know anything about him. So now they're like, oh, we just found out he's insane.
So I'm staring at the commercial. Now I'm just processing the information that they cut me completely out of this commercial. So I am still, I'm sitting there with my mouth open, just trying to figure out what happened, not realizing they're all now staring at me, staring at a commercial that just ended with my mouth open. And I was like,
and a little tear in the corner of his eye.
A little bit. My feelings were a little hurt. And I'm like, I was in that. And they're like, what?
I was like, that was me. That was me right there.
I go, I was in that commercial. They go, who were you in that commercial? I'm like, no, I wasn't in it, but I was in it. And they're like, and they kind of all just start slowly backing away. I'm like, no, I was in the commercial. And they're like, all right, Ryan. I'm like, no, stop humoring me. I was in that commercial. They cut me out of it. They're like, all righty.
See, it would have been slightly better if you lived in L.A. and that happened. Then you would have been like, I was in that commercial. They'd be like, oh, cool. Were you the gaffer? Were you the key grip? Like, they would have.
Right.
But now you're just some crazy guy.
Have you heard of Soapy Joe's? Huh? I'm legit. I swear I'm not lying to you.
Next time you go in there. Do that to another just random commercial. Oh, guys, wait, look. Hang on, wait.
That'll be my thing.
Yeah, that's Ryan. He loves commercials. He just sometimes make you stop and watch it for some time.
No, look, don't forget to wish him a happy birthday. Yeah. It's on November 16th. He gets really upset about it.
I love that they just think you're insane.
Yeah.
Same thing happened to a good friend of ours, Eric Knowles, a comedian.
Right. Yeah.
He was on, Bobby, you remember the primetime game show Wipeout?
Yes.
He was on that like 10 years ago, I think. He auditioned. He was a contestant. He was on there. He was so excited about it. He was telling all of us in the comedy community like for weeks. He said, oh, my God, this episode, this date, this time, whatever, blah, blah. This was back in, I think, the MySpace era. And like he made an event. He's like, oh, you guys come watch this. It's going to be great. And so then it aired and he wasn't in it. And they hadn't told him beforehand.
it's harsh to find out that way.
Absolutely.
What I love is that Ryan got an entire restaurant to stop and watch a commercial, mind you, in the middle of their shift, and they dutifully did it. Meanwhile, rewind, I once did like a news segment or something where we were talking about science fiction. I was on like the local news, and I did a little clip with them, and I had called up my parents. I was like, just so you know, I'll be on live news on the 10 a.m. news this morning.
Like, oh my God, who did you kill?
Right. Well, no. And then later I talked to them, and I was like, oh, did you see me on the news? She's like, yeah, we watched the 10 a.m. news, and you weren't on it. And I was like, no, I was. I have it on DVR. I was on it. And she's like, yeah, well, I mean, we watched the first 10 minutes, and you weren't on. And I was like, so you wouldn't watch the next 20 minutes of a local news program to see your son on TV? And they're like, well, we watched the first 10. You weren't on that.
So that was your in-laws or your
parents? No, my parents. Oh, my in-laws would have watched it. My in-laws are great people. They would have watched it for sure. No, this is them. And so what I love is that my parents won't watch an entire half-hour news program to see their son on TV, but an entire restaurant will stop and watch a commercial that he's not even in to try and see Ryan.
They all stop to watch me not on TV.
In an alternate universe somewhere, Bobby's going to make it in comedy and be a headliner, invite his parents, and they're going to be like, After the show, what did you think? Was that great? I'm like, oh, well, we didn't stay. We sat through the opener and the feature, but then
no,
you hadn't been out by then.
So. Good,
no joke. Two funny stories that are along the same lines.
Time for one. Go.
When I graduated from high school, obviously, super nerd, graduated high honors, top of my class, 4.6 GPA. Hold on, nine yards.
They didn't come to the graduation, did they?
No, they did because they had to.
First 10 minutes.
So they left 20 minutes into the graduation.
Your last name starts with a T. We sat through A through J, and that was.
Well, I was sitting with my girlfriend at the time and her parents afterwards, because you know everybody comes and takes pictures and stuff, and they're like, "Oh, we should wait for your parents." And I was like, "No, I don't think they're here." And they're like, "Of course they're here. It's your high school graduation. Your parents are here." And I was like, "Hey, you don't know them." And then they never showed up.
Watching the news.
Yeah, they never showed up. They never showed up, and so we went. We end up going home, and my girlfriend at the time was like incensed, and she's like, "Why weren't you guys there?" And they're like, "Traffic afterwards is really hard." So we went
that's
to the
fair.
First.
That's a fair point.
First few minutes. Second story. They also left my wedding halfway through.
Oh,
they knew how it was going
to
end.
My wedding, which you guys were at.
Yeah,
they went to it. They saw like the first little ceremony part, and then everything got started. And they're like, "Well, we got to get going." I was like, "Well, we actually have like family speeches and stuff coming up in like an hour or two.
Not for me, you know." And not anymore.
And they're like, "Oh yeah, well, that sounds awesome. Have fun with that. All right, see you later."
So, quick question: I want to know how long this has been happening. What year did you forget to wish them happy birthday? Yeah.
That was it. I forgot the happy birthday.
Man, that's brutal. I had an uncle that accused me of lying that I was in college. Like,
really?
He not that I was ever in college, but like around my junior year, he texted me. He's like, "Hey, just admit to me, you flunked out of college back in like sophomore year, and you've been lying, haven't you?" I'm like, "No, I'm in college." She's like, "Nah, you're like bilking financial aid. I know what's up with you, Ryan. You failed out of college.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. He did that whole thing.
He made his uncle watch a commercial one time. He's like, "I'm in this.
If it's anything like the commercial, you're lying about this college thing too." So no, he like for like a straight year, he's like, "He's not in college. He failed out." Everyone's like, "No, I've seen his bills. Like, he's in college." And then he's like, nah. And so he literally went to my graduation, like trying to like call my bluff. Like, he's not going up on that stage.
He thought you were George Costanza.
Yeah.
And he was going to catch you in the Hamptons.
Like, Ryan was just going to step into the line of people walking up and pretend.
George Milhouse. Like, I'm running on stage to grab the diploma and run back off.
So
stop that, man.
When he did show up and then get your diploma, did you then like hit him over the head with, like, what was the?
No, the uncle still, like, he's like, "Well played, Ryan."
Yeah, what is Photoshop?
He kind of had that reaction. I sent out the invites, and he had that reaction. Like, "All right, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. I'm driving to San Diego for this quote unquote graduation," and they called my name, Ryan Shores, bachelor degree, and I get it. And after the ceremony, I go with all my family, who's all, you know, taking pictures, going, "We're so proud of you." He's sitting there in his wheelchair, like, "Nah."
I love the person.
I don't know what you did, but nah.
I love the person who, with no evidence, has decided they're right, and then when evidence presents that they're wrong, they're just the same evidence, same non-evidence I had that let me know this was true. I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Ryan was the only person in college history to yell, "Fuck you, Uncle Steve," from the podium while holding his diploma.
No, he wasn't. By the way, that's a common yell.
Oh man. Shit. We gotta mention this. I'd be remiss if we didn't mention this. Bobby, you must love this story.
Yeah.
There is a story of a gentleman who can afford to be a world traveler in his early 20s, so I'm thinking parental money.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of churches that will pay people to do evangelical missionary work, so it could very well just be sponsored.
Sure. This 20-something-year-old guy went to an island which is forbidden, one of the very last uncontacted tribes in the world, you know, bones to their nose. Who knows what's going on over there?
Not that.
Okay. but I'm trying to paint a picture, Bobby. You understand?
It's an inaccurate picture.
All right, what do they look like?
They look like Australian Aborigines. That would be their closest living relatives.
They got bones going on.
No, God damn it.
Plates in the lip?
Jesus Christ. You're not even on the right continent.
Oh, boy. tough customer. So, this guy went to this uncontacted tribe.
Yeah.
And they fucking killed the shit out of him.
Yeah.
I'd like to say on behalf of the Degenerate Podcast and our community to this boy's family.
Right.
Yeah. He went to bring the tribe's people Jesus, and they're like, nah, but tell him we said hi.
No sale.
Yeah, we actually just discussed this pretty in depth on Science Faction. This particular story.
Told you never mention that podcast on here again.
this story is one of those.
Where's your banner, Finnegan? Yeah.
This is one of those where I changed. I was like, all right, we need to rechange the title of some of these CNN articles that are like missionary killed when visiting tribe. Uncontacted tribe or something like that. It should be. Man attempts genocide and killed in process. Because,
yeah, by the way, if you had breathed on any of those guys, they would have fallen over dead.
And that may still happen. Now, this is a tribe that's part of the remnants of the first exodus of human beings outside of Africa that still has living descendants. There were other exoduses before.
Oh, so I was in the right continent eventually.
But, 80,000 years ago, a group of humans left Africa. They hugged the coast of South Asia, and then they went down.
Just skip to the good part.
That was back when sea level was much lower, so you could walk through Indonesia almost to Australia. Then they took boats to Australia. They became the Australian Aborigines, the New Guinea Highlanders, the Melanesian Islanders.
They were cruising, man.
And
the
then
Backstreet Boys.
Sea levels rose. A lot of these people got stuck on islands, like the people in this particular case along the Andaman Islands, in this case North Sentinel Island. And that population got stuck there, pretty much isolated. They trade a little bit with the tribes around them that are also uncontacted tribes on these really remote islands. And since then, that entire population
of people...
Is there
metadata that's going to show us how many listeners tuned out during this little
yeah.
spiel?
Yeah, or tuned in, Dave. Who knows? Maybe they're interested. Yeah. And
what, did word get to them that
yes.
the podcast
yes.
was talking about this?
It was like the Forrest Griffin, Stephen Bonner fight. People started tuning in halfway through.
Only that was exciting.
and basically... All of the remnants that still lived in southern Asia got completely wiped out by later migration. So most of these people got completely decimated. And then these people have lived isolated on this island for 50,000 years, at least, maybe even longer than that, basically in contact with the little tribes around them. But that's about it. They have no immunity to things like the flu, to common colds.
Polio!
A fucking cold sore could kill this entire group of people. This is how little we know about them. The group on the island is somewhere between 15 people and 200 people. We don't know what that number is.
So this guy...
They buried the body, too. So
yeah,
that's one of my
contact.
Favorite parts. Because this guy, who I guess had been there before, and he said, yeah, some of them are nice, some of them really don't want me there.
Well, you know, he had shown up the day before. He made first contact with them the day before. Did some kind of interaction, came back to the boat, wrote in his journal, and then the second day when he went out, that's when he
now
ended
that's
up getting
killed. Is that when he wrote in the journal, if
yes.
they kill me, don't be mad?
Yeah.
You know what? I was not planning on it, kid. I had no plans to be mad at that tribe.
I wonder if this was
over your demise.
You know when people step in front of a semi or like police suicide?
Right.
Like, I wonder if he was doing that. He's like, I don't be around anymore.
No,
he wanted to set up a kingdom, and I quote, kingdom of Jesus on that island. No sale.
Yeah, it's
you
one
can't
of,
just decide that your thing circumnavigates the rules. Like, no, you all are not supposed to contact this tribe, but I have the right motivations
right.
in mind. I'm sorry, that does not that is in no difference to someone going, no, no, no. But these people will be a lot happier if I build them luxury condos and buy their island for a case of crushed soda.
Yeah, it's a horrible idea. We actually went over each individual reason that what he thought of was bad and how it could have, even if you took away pathogens, it could have killed, it would have destroyed their society in hundreds of other ways. But regardless of all that, what was funny is I guess he had shown up on that first trip. Or the first day when he had shown up, he had traded with them. And I heard this just actually secondhand just recently, so I don't know how true this is. But I guess they had gotten a little bit pissed. They had shot at him. And apparently, according to his own writings, an arrow struck his Bible and prevented it from hitting him.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
He then went,
here we go.
But as Damien pointed out on Science Faction, he goes, if he hadn't had that Bible, because he's like, yeah, the Bible saved my life. If he hadn't had that Bible, that arrow would have hit him. He would have been wounded. He would have had to go back to mainland, and he would have survived.
Yeah.
So it's the opposite.
He
Instead of the Bible
back.
Stopping the bullet,
back.
The Bible kept him. The Bible made it so that he
Hang
would
on.
Go back and die.
As a scientist,
yeah.
why wouldn't he show up with, like, a lighter to just be, hey, I'm a god.
I'm sure
I can make fire.
I think he did show up with
and
some
hairspray.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah, and he may well end up still killing that entire culture because he did interact with them and he did undoubtedly have
Oh, good. Now we can all go have Thanksgiving where that tribe used to be.
Right, yeah. Like, he might have ended up killing a culture that has been living in isolation for 50,000 years because he's a fucking asshole. And as actually,
he is an asshole.
I did amend that. As I was saying before, I think, especially if you look at this guy's record, it's not that he's an asshole. He's a great example of good people do good things, bad people do bad things, but the unique thing about religion is it can make good people do bad things. And it's just a bad idea. He has the wrong idea in his head. He thinks he's doing good. He's doing something horrible, and he ends up going out there. Because he did things like volunteer his time in Iraq, in Africa, and he was trying to help people. He was just He was just full of bad ideas. He went to Oral Roberts University, which
is... What is that? It sounds like a made-up university.
It is. It's basically...
Sounds made up. I feel like my uncle would be like, that's not a real university.
Oral Roberts was this famous old evangelical preacher, like televangelist type preacher.
Oh, so I was way off with the popcorn.
Right. And he went to that. So like he's just like, it's batshit crazy ideas ending up hitting reality, and a bunch of arrows fucking ended that real quick.
I almost got in a Facebook argument with a friend's mom about this. And I was like, nah, it's not worth it. Because my friend had
posted... You didn't wish her happy birthday?
The friend had posted a picture of it was from a movie, I'm sure, somewhere, of like a body pierced by arrows laying face down in the water.
Yeah.
And it said, introducing the new missionary position, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
But then the mom was like, no matter what he did, it's not right to mock his death, blah, blah, blah. And I wanted to step and be like, all right, let's talk about what missions and missionaries have right. done to all these tribes and all the bad things. But I was like, no, not going to start a fight. Not going to.
And by the way. There's plenty of things that we should mock your death for. Like, there exactly. are plenty of things.
Yes.
You know what? You know whose death I love to mock? Aaron Hernandez. Let's mock the shit out of that guy's death. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, there's plenty of people who, when they die, we should all mock them. And then maybe mock their families a little bit for good measure. I don't know. But
yeah, man. This whole thing is him thinking that he could circumnavigate the rules for Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I wonder if there's going to be anyone else who's like, you know what? I know what he did wrong. I can do it.
Almost like we publicized it too much, like a school shooter.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
we gave him too much attention,
yeah.
and now somebody else wants that attention.
Well, by the time they go back, they're all going to be dead of polio, so whatever.
Well, I'm thinking the way we do it is we get, like, Ebola. We get an African tribesman who really wants to spread his pantheistic religion and who has Ebola, and we get him to start showing up to churches to see how they feel.
I don't know if you caught it. I mentioned it last night. Jake the Snake Roberts was on Joe Rogan's podcast.
I did not.
Maybe it was an old episode. I don't keep current. You know, I stumble across these things, so I listen to it because I'm an old school wrestling fan.
Oh yeah.
And we've been in this position one time. It occurred to me how much Joe Rogan must be put in this position occasionally, because Jake the Snake Roberts is a 63-year-old ex-crack addict professional wrestler.
Oh, dude, he's a mess, yeah.
Okay, that guy doesn't exactly know which way the wind's blowing and what things are not okay to say anymore. So listen to this podcast, and there was some great interviews, great stories, but then once in a while, he'll just throw in there like an old-timer does, like, yeah, you know, so I was talking to Vince McMahon, and he's like, we're going to put you in some green tights, and I'm like, I'm not a fucking faggot. And you just see Joe Rogan like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
What are you going to say to him, you know?
Yeah.
What are you going to say to the 63-year-old ex-crack addict? Like, hey, man, you can't say that kind of thing anymore. What is to be gained? So he just has to – you can see his face like – oh boy, I'm gonna get some of those emails.
It's almost like some of them. It's almost like sitting at somebody else's house and trying to explain to one of the buffest guys you've ever seen why you shouldn't premeditate a murder of your girlfriend just because she slept with a few of your friends.
And it kept happening on that show. He'd be like, "Yeah, so we're wrestling in Tokyo." I'm like, "Here we go." And you know, some of these Japs come in and talk all that faggy Jap talk. I'm like, and the thing is, you can't say, because what are you gonna do?
Right.
You can have one of the female comedians from Broad City come in and go, "Hey, you." Refer to women as cisgender females moving forward. Mm-hmm. Fucking Jake the Snake, that mustachioed, bemulleted man's gonna be like, you get me stingy with that pussy or what? I love the people that try to police these old timers that are not gonna change, they
right.
just waste their time. Don't get me wrong, if I'm in a bar and some guy my age starts yelling the N-word, I'm going to walk up to him and go, you need to get the fuck out of here.
Right.
But on my other side, same bar, same circumstance, if a 71-year-old man's like, I was talking to my barber the other day, colored fella, might be a fairy, I'm not sure. I'm going to be like, you know what, just plug your ears
yeah.
and wait till they die.
You'll be dead soon.
Don't waste your time. You're never going to fix it.
Yeah, it's what we call the AARP exception.
Right.
We let them go. Yeah, you mentioned we were in this position once. Ours was a different version. Ours was because we were scared shitless.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was thinking that guy had the same mentality of the friend you were talking about. Like, oh, this murder's different than this murder. Like, well, this one's okay.
Yeah. No, the time that Ryan, that the three of us were in this was when we had Rick Slayton?
Yeah.
When we had Rick Slayton, who was an MMA fighter / biker gang enforcer /
motorcycle club.
slash covered in tattoos in his face, head, neck, and body.
His forehead has the words Thug Life tattooed across it.
And that was the most civilized part of that man. Like, and he was at that time when we were, actually, it was one of our first episodes, we were broadcasting out of Madhouse, and he was trying to explain to us why it wasn't so bad that War Machine beat up his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, now that you're thinking about it, very much along the similar lines as Ryan's friend.
Yeah.
And we just had to kind of sit there and nod our heads like, I hope this 240-pound trained killer doesn't murder us right now if we object to what he's saying.
Yeah, he's like, you know, I mean, she was asking for it. She's a fucking lying whore, right, guys? And I'm like, oh, mercy.
Yes.
Sometimes you just see red.
Yeah.
My favorite part is that, again, that was probably our second or third episode together. And after he got up and left, Ryan turned to me and he's like, I really need you to edit that. And I just stopped. I was like, don't even say I already got it. I'm taking half that episode out.
Because not only was that episode him saying, oh, there's some instances where it's okay to murder your girlfriend if she pisses you off.
Not just murder, beat to death in brutal fashion.
Right, but it had us agreeing with him on there.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby, like, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I just didn't remember because
I was trembling.
Yeah.
I was, like, just sitting back watching you. I was like, you're fucking agreeing. Yeah. Oh, my God.
What would you have done?
Yeah. We just,
not agreed with
we
him.
We just smiled and nodded, and we're like, oh,
someone need to agree with him.
Tell us more about your biker club.
Yeah, no. Someone need to say, sure, man.
Yeah.
I was just trying to steer the ship away from that conversation. Oh, my God, that was
good
the
times.
Worst.
That was also,
good
by
times.
The way, when we say we're broadcasting out of Madhouse, I'm not talking about we're in the middle of a showtime and, like, there's 500 people there. We're the only people in this club. And I remember looking around and being like, oh, he could easily kill us all and just walk out of this building totally fine.
Yeah.
The cops wouldn't get
sure.
called. No one would know what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would just walk out whistling.
Right. That actually reminds me of something our buddy Adam Connie was talking to me about this week. He was telling me about how he had to get into an in-depth discussion with, like, a cousin's girlfriend or something about how Cosby wasn't innocent. Like, I didn't realize this still exists, but there is still a Cosby is totally innocent and has been framed 55
times.
Oh,
yeah. There's,
that's going to be about anybody.
Cosby's got, like, 50 offenders, like 50 people, 50 victims that he's that are coming forward. It's so implausible to be impossible that you would imagine that he is innocent in any way, shape, or form. Like, it's different if it... Even if there are things where there's a lot of convincing evidence, but it's like one thing that happened or two things that happened. Like the Brett Kavanaugh thing, right?
Right.
We're all pretty sure he probably fucked around with that girl, but that's still one person, right? Multiply that by 50, and now what are the chances that all these people came up with the exact same fake lie that they're using on you that fits your MO and all this other stuff?
Well, they all just want fame. That's
And one, I was going to say, ones that circumnavigate that that argument, like, all these chicks want fame and money, and then, like, Janice Dickinson comes forward, like, someone who's beautiful, famous, and does not need a dime from anybody. Like, there's nothing glamorous about an old creep forcing himself on you. There's no way. She's like, this will be a good career move.
Right, and I was like, Adam, how is this possible? And he's like, oh, it's a thing in the black community.
It is, for sure.
She's black. And I was like...
Well, I can understand that.
And I was like, but so are some of the victims. Like, what you're saying is there's multiple black women who were victimized here. Shouldn't you be on their side?
Yes, but the whole thing is Cosby broke barriers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's
moral barriers.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is it's like a district attorney who is caught doing something nefarious, and all of a sudden, all these scumbags he put away are going to get overturned. Their case is overturned.
Yeah.
So it's a lot like that.
Everybody's going to start sagging their pants the second Cosby goes to jail.
There'd be no Pryor without Cosby. And, you know, so I can understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Where they're like, they don't want to believe that such an icon who advanced them so much in the entertainment industry also did this. I understand why they would want to not believe it.
But there's a difference between saying this is really a horrible thing to hear. Like, we all probably felt that way about Louis, right? Like, it's horrible to hear that he has been doing this stuff. That sucks.
Oh, he set white people back 50 years!
But there's a difference between saying this is horrible that this person who I looked up to is doing this, and they didn't do it. Like, those are two very different points of view. And he's like, yeah, this is just a thing. Like, people will say this. They will say every single one of these 50 women are lying. They're all doing it for the fame. They're all doing it for the money. There's absolutely
Let's talk about the fame. Do you know any of them?
Right. Other than Dickinson, who was famous for something else. Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, I couldn't name one of them. I couldn't pick them out of a lineup.
Yeah. Right. And my response was, because he was talking to this young lady who was a friend of his cousin's, my response was, well, you should have roofied her and then called her a liar at the end, because clearly...
Yikes.
Nuclear option.
I kind of feel like the Slayton episode right now. I'm not going to get caught on tape agreeing with that.
All I'm saying for the second episode in a row is that she was rape bait. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, my God. Well, I think that's a good place to end it this week. All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos. I know my value. Ooh, ooh, yeah, time passing by.
Motherfucking time is passing.